Good evening. I'd like to call the Planning Commission special meeting Tuesday, November 1st to order. Can I get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Chair George?
Here.
And Commissioner Keene is absent.
If you could please stand for the flag salute.
Who's doing that?
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I wonder why they decided to continue it.
Now we'll move on to agenda review. Do the commissioners wish to revise any items on tonight's agenda?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to community comments. Yes, there's no one in the audience. We'll close community comments and go to written communications. Looks like we received two memos in addition to our packet. And one is for Vesting Tentative Tract Map 15-001, requesting a continuance. And the other is a supplemental information package. So did everyone receive one of those?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll move on to consent agenda. We have three consent agenda items. Approval of minutes. Consideration of time extension for 16-001. Location is 318 Short Street. And consideration of lot line adjustment 16-002. The location is 504 and 512 Ide Street. Do the commissioners have any questions or comments regarding these three consent items?
I do on 7C.
Okay. Then we'll go through them individually. And we'll start with the approval of minutes. For October 4th, I had a few questions regarding how the resolution was worded. So I guess I'll just start. It says residences shall include infrastructure. Mr. Downey, can you please expand on that? Is that a complete gray water system, or is that just plumbing for it? The word infrastructure is a little vague to me.
Absolutely. So that's resolution number 3, the add a condition to the subarea 2 for gray water infrastructure to read residences shall include the infrastructure to allow for a dual water use system with separate connections for potable and non-potable water. So that would be just the infrastructure. That's how it was originally worded, and I
believe we had made that modification during the meeting to have it be a complete functioning gray water system.
Then we will go ahead and modify that condition as accordingly.
And item 11, the reduction of lots facing on Cherry, reducing the number of buildable sites to 51. So from the way it's worded, it sounds like 6 homes were removed on the street facing Cherry, and it's actually only 3, and then 3 behind them on the opposite side of the alley.
That's correct. So we could clarify that to include that it's on both sides of Alley A.
Right. I just wanted to make sure we weren't locking them into having to remove 6 on one side.
That'd be good.
And then item 12, it says to add 1 uncovered parking spot for each lot in the alley. I believe that we were leaving that to the developer's discretion, whether it would be a 3-car garage or 1 to 2 open parking spots. The developer had said if it's a 3-car garage, then they could add 1 spot. If it was uncovered, they could add 1, possibly 2, that there would be enough room for 2 spots. So I don't want to limit them to just 1. And
absolutely, and I can say that the condition, that specific condition, was actually verbatim from the commission's deliberations.
So do we need to reword that and motion on it, or is that a change that can be made?
Given the substantive nature of that potential modification, I would defer these minutes to the next meeting, and we'll go ahead and ask that question.
Okay, perfect. So I'll move to, do the commissioners have any other changes to this? Mm-hmm. So I move we defer the minutes of October 4th to a date certain of our next Planning Commission meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Item 7B, consideration of time extension 16-001. Location is 318 Short Street, and the applicant is Bob Christensen. Did the commissioners have any questions or comments regarding that item?
I believe this commission looked at that last year as well, mm-hmm. Not the previous commission. I don't see any issues with granting a time extension.
I move to approve that item, item B, 7B.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. 7C, consideration of lot line adjustment 16-002. The location is 504 and 512 Ide Street, and the applicants are David and Jessica Iwerks. Commission have any questions or comments about this item?
I guess my question, the reason why I wanted to pull that is, what's the purpose of the lot line adjustment? Is it so you have a greater building capacity on one of the parcels? I know they said they didn't plan to because there's an existing house in the middle, but on parcel one, I just was wondering what was the motivation behind pushing that line?
Absolutely. So according to the applicant, the current house, while it meets their current family needs, they are looking at the future and potentially having a family expansion further than what they already have. And so they were requesting the lot line adjustment while they and their families are in control of both properties in order to set themselves up for the potential expansion of the home in the future. So that's the main purpose behind it.
And then the next question I had, it looks like we're putting a property line on the other side of a tree. Is that an oak tree, or it just says tree? What kind of tree is that?
I believe that's a palm tree, actually.
Well, there's one palm tree in the middle, and then towards the rear where the existing shed is. My concern is if you end up replacing the site, the fence now underneath the tree, if there's going to be fence posts going into the oak tree, for example, dividing that tree in half. That's kind of why I wanted to pull it. I just was wondering what kind of tree that was.
Yeah, it doesn't indicate that on the map.
They say fig tree in the back, but then the 8-inch tree, I don't know whether that's an oak or.
If it is an oak, obviously all oak trees in the city are regulated tree species, so they would have to do hand trenching around in the drip line if they were putting in or moving that fence line over. So they,
I guess
they would
that's
have to comply
the thing,
with
is ensure that they're sensitive when they put posts in for the new fence, that they're not ripping up the...
Yeah, and staff can pass that along to the applicant.
Maybe put a condition there. When you...
Yeah, certainly.
Can I comment on that also? Since we haven't had much luck with this oak tree preservation issue in the past, is there some way that when they submit, whether it's a lot line adjustment, tentative map, or vesting tentative map, or a parcel map, that they identify that it's an oak tree with a notation that is to be either, if it's in excess of the minimum size, that it be preserved, or make that arborist stipulation on it. So not knowing what these two trees are or the size.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's typically what we require of lot line adjustment or any kind of other map. My guess would be that the planner processing the project missed that one on looking at all the other vegetation on site. So I'll follow up to ensure that that is addressed at the next time.
One more follow-up question. I know they're not showing any improvements for parcel 2 or parcel 3 at this time, but when would we require street trees to be planted along the front edge, specifically parcel 2, because there doesn't seem to be any?
Not with a lot line adjustment, though. We can't impose those conditions.
Commissioner Fowler Payne's correct. So we would catch that actually at the building permit stage, whenever, depending on the nature of their improvement.
Okay.
Legally, you can't impose any conditions on a lot line adjustment per the MAP Act. But again, you can do it on the building permit or any other permits that they request. But so even putting the notification on there about the tree, I don't know if that's a condition or if that would be considered a condition or just a note.
I think we'd be safe to do a condition on something of that nature.
On the oak tree preservation.
Correct.
Mr. Fowler Payne, did you want to add an...
No, that was it.
Did you want to add that condition before we move to adopt?
Well, first of all, you went about the oak tree preservation?
Yes.
I think it can only be a note. It can't be we can make a request to add a note to their... Well, they don't even have conditions of approval, really. To their project, I guess is what you would say, to identify the trees and acknowledge our current oak tree preservation guidelines.
And because that does have to do with the finalization of the lot line adjustment, just identification of the vegetation, we can address that. I believe that we're safe adding that condition. It's rather benign.
Yeah,
it doesn't affect the true nature of the lot line adjustment.
I think we need to start becoming a little more restrictive on what's happening with oak trees and issues. Okay, that was it. And that can be added.
Okay. I move we approve the lot line adjustment 16002 with the added condition acknowledging the oak tree preservation ordinance and the specific location of that tree and protecting that tree should it be an oak.
Can we rephrase that?
Sure.
Instead of saying the condition, a notation, because we're dealing with one of the most proficient land.
I'm happy to make that as a notation.
Notation.
I think the applicants are cooperative enough in this situation. I wouldn't anticipate something. But.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call vote on this, please?
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Chair George?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Motion carries. We'll move on to public hearing. Continued consideration of vesting tentative parcel map 15-001 and planned unit development 15-001. It's a subdivision of one lot into four lots and construction of 4 one-bedroom single-family attached residences. The location is 1177 Ash Street. The applicant is Jeffrey Emmerich. And I believe we received a memo requesting a continuance. Do the commissioners have any objections to that?
No.
No.
Is that consistent with the zoning designation, the four units on that back lot?
Yes, it is.
So it's zoned multifamily? And,
correct.
Okay. I just knew that in the comments that we got, you know, the neighbors were concerned about that. I would like to have known what their projected sales price was on such a small unit, if they're considered low income. But I guess there's no one here to give that information.
Well, before we...
Before we make a motion on that, let's talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, and we have public comment as well. So, okay, so commissioners wish to make comments?
Well, my comment was, I remember last time we heard a lot of testimony on this and the parking issues that existed on the existing street, including trucks that were being parked out there for commercial purposes. Has code enforcement gone out there and done anything and reviewed our parking problems?
Yeah, so actually, Commissioner Mack, you're absolutely right. The issue of on-street parking and commercial vehicle parking in the residential district was discussed at the last meeting. I actually did touch base with the police department today in anticipation of that question coming up. One of their concerns in going out and enforcing it on this street is then they have to begin enforcing it everywhere rather than just selecting one street, which they're a little concerned about unanticipated ramifications of doing that. So we're working with them to try and address the issue because it obviously has been brought up by the public. We've mentioned a couple of different code sections as well. And so we're working with the police department to try and address the issue in a more educational fashion rather than a punitive fashion.
I guess I would be interested to hear what the issue may be from code enforcement or the police department and whether we need to sign the street with signs every 20 feet or so indicating what the parking restrictions are, if that would help, or, you know, we don't want commercial trucks parking on that street, obviously, and then I don't know if code enforcement is actually doing their 72-hour thing on some of those cars or not.
My understanding is that yes, they are, particularly since it came to the commission at the last time. However, I will follow up with them prior to the next meeting.
Thank you.
I do have, and I don't know whether it has to wait till the next meeting or whether I can make a comment on it now. On that project with the parking, and then there was a big issue about the trash trucks going down that alleyway to, and the noise that they would make at the time of the morning that they go there. Isn't there some way that, now I know out there in the front, there's the mailboxes are kind of grouped in an area. Isn't there some way they can just redline that, where those mailboxes are, and that could be a place where people brought their trash cans to be picked up so the three dump trucks don't have to go down that little alley, disturb the people on the other side of the fence, and people going to get their mail each day are going to remember and see their trash cans there to bring them in. And there's the other thing is, too, if you look along the frontage of the existing resident in front of this proposed development, it's kind of a, if people are parked there, when they go to pull out, it's an obstruction to their view coming down the street. So to me, it just seemed like a logical way to resolve the mailboxes, the trash cans, the visibility, and the noise from the dumpsters. So I don't know if you want to bring that up before the next meeting.
Sure.
And that's it.
So where that would occur, you'd probably paint a section of that curb red?
Pardon me?
Paint a section of that curb red?
Yeah, along where the mailboxes are. If it was painted red there, then the mail delivery person can pull up there where they complain now if there's car parked in front of the boxes, they have to park someplace else or double park and get out and do that. So if it was redlined, it seemed like it would solve several issues. And it would only take up one parking space along the street frontage.
Yeah, and staff will go ahead and add a discussion item on that topic for the next meeting.
Okay.
Also a minor issue, the rendering, the color rendering that we received, and page 6 of our drafts, the drawings don't match particularly the roof line, so if they could just clarify which of the two is the final version so that when it comes back on the 15th, we have an actual...
Absolutely.
Good catch, because the color board doesn't reflect even what roof material that they chose for the sloped roof.
Speaking of that, I've noticed that color boards have lately been coming in just as color copies, and I prefer to have an actual board where we can see the material and the color swatches. Color laser print, to me, is not an adequate representation of materials used, so if you could pass that on to the developers.
Absolutely, and we do require the actual color board itself.
Right.
We have seen an increase in applications just coming in with the color copies, but as you said, they're not always true to, you know, the printer can only do so much. So, and a lot of times staff has that, and we say in the report that it'll be available, and then we forget to bring it out, or we'll bring it out if the question gets raised, but we'll address that.
Okay, thank you.
They're usually bringing that forward to the ARC meeting, that color board.
It should still come to the planning commission. Commissioners, have any other questions?
No.
I'm going to open up to public comment since we have someone here to speak on the item. Doreen Rogers. Dory.
Can I speak to all of what you're saying there? Can I speak to that first and then speak? Can I add to your
conversation? You have 3 minutes, so go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. I hear what you're saying. Do I need this? Can you hear me without it?
Yeah.
You need it, yeah.
I need it, okay.
They need it.
I hear what you're saying about putting a red line there. That street is so congested that I'm the neighbor on the other side of that fence, and when I come down my long driveway, because I'm a flag piece of property too, every morning, almost every morning, somebody is partially in my driveway. That's how impacted it is. We have apartment complex after apartment complex. And all these cars that are sitting out there that are business cars, these are blue-collar workers who are coming home at work from work at 5 o'clock. And they've got their Hills Brothers coffee van, and they've got a glass van, you know, the truck that has a tall glass that parks my driveway. I have to pull out two-thirds of the way into the road, nose out slowly every morning to get out. It is plain out dangerous. There is a red mark in front of my mailboxes, but it's ignored. The mailman or woman needs to kind of finagle her way. There is no room, zero room, between my driveway and the driveway that would be the road that would go to the back. There's literally no room on that block. Garbage cans, unbelievable garbage can situation. People were literally to pick your garbage cans up off the street and put them in on the sidewalk so they can park on the street. And when you wake up in the morning, your garbage cans cannot be emptied because there are cars in front of it. And if the garbage comes too early in the morning, you're out of luck. And then people come home at 5 o'clock, and we each have 3 garbage cans. So that's the garbage can situation and the parking. I just wanted to make those comments because I'm living it every day. So I came here with a different take on this. I know that you all talk about the legalities and the space and the color and all of those things, but I'd like to add a little story here. I'd like to provide you a perspective that paints the story a little bit more human rather than discussion of whether or not the development plan by Mr. Emmerich had devised fits the parameters and what is permissible by law. When Jeff Emmerich and his wife, Karen, first bought the property and began the process of flipping the existing home in the front portion of it, they began making simple structural changes, making it aesthetically pleasing, providing a street appeal in order to flip it and make a fast profit. Nothing illegal about that. Living next door, I walked over to introduce myself to the Emmerichs, thinking that they were my new neighbors. They were friendly enough to let me know that they would not actually be moving in, but would be doing the neighborhood a great favor by improving the home for resale, thereby improving the quality of living on our street, and ultimately the value of the neighborhood and our real estate. They told us, don't worry, just wait. We've done this many times before. It will be amazing. They said that one of their thoughts was to build one home in the back with a granny unit.
That's okay. Go ahead and continue.
Or possibly two homes. I was happy about that. Great, I said. I talked to my retired neighbor next door, Vicky. She was also pretty happy. Days later, I spoke with Jeff again, asking if they planned on replacing our common fence, which was very old and needed repair, had a beautiful trumpet vine cascading down the 6-foot fence on our side, a good 60 feet long. The vine is not adhered to anything, was tangled up in the fencing. It's like a trumpet vine. So the fence could have been fixed and replaced, or replaced and the vine saved. Jeff said he'd certainly try to save it. 2 days later, obviously already scheduled, the vine was torn out. The fence was repaired but not replaced. I think I cried. It was beautiful. Soon after, I walked across my drive to then inquire about the majestic 300-year-old avocado tree that's the center of the back property. He said his wife, Karen, is practically a horticulturist and will do everything in her power to save that tree. That week, it was also gone. Along the journey, there were many things that I and my neighbors learned that should have been done to the property or didn't do that we knew, and they certainly knew, were against code. One of them was when they sold the house, they added the perk of a very large detached workshop, knowing full well existed partly on city property. They ignored the directive to take it down before putting the property on the market and did not disclose this to the home buyers. The first-time home buyers with their first baby on the way really stuck it to them, as for these home buyers were not aware of this and it was not disclosed to them. They learned about the possibility of losing their workshop to a city sidewalk only after all these proceedings began. The truth became clear to me when I first saw the blueprints, when they actually had them in mind accessible at the city hall. I went down to look at them, and I was pretty shocked. Jeff and Karen Emmerich didn't give a rip about whether our neighborhood would improve or not, or that the vine was there or not, or that the tree survived or not. But they didn't disclose that they didn't mind building right outside of my front door and that of my retired neighbor, 4 1-bedroom, 2-story, low-income, likely to be rented, cheaply built, poorly designed townhomes that would accommodate parking for 8 cars, have upstairs windows that look directly at the only privacy that we have, as we also have another complex backed up and adjacent to our backyard. More traffic and less parking, if that were actually possible, on a residential street that may be just the most densely built and populated block in the area. In fact, most mornings when I leave for work, someone is partially parked in my driveway. So I came here tonight not to argue about whether or not he is currently following regulations for building multiple homes in a tiny space, maxing on every inch lawfully possible. You have heard about our congested area, the complete lack of parking on the street, the garbage can issue, the family whose front door is literally 5 feet from where there would be a road for 4 homes and all 8 of their cars. I'm asking you to think about what the Emmerichs can legally do versus what should be done. The neighbors with the baby in the front yard are currently selling their home as a result of being cheated. That workshop, that was what attracted them, because he is a young carpenter and he needed that place for their business. I will sell too if these townhomes go up. And if this passes, I have to disclose to the potential buyers what is on the horizon, making my home harder to sell and certainly getting less for it. And I have to ask you, what does the city of Arroyo Grande, a beautiful bedroom community, back its friends and neighbors and preserve what we can of the older neighborhoods instead of supporting unethical flippers like the Emmerichs just because they know how to beat the system, behaving unethically, being deceitful and manipulative every step of the way toward everyone along the way, including the city of Arroyo Grande? Develop the property. They should. Put 2 quality homes on the property. That is what there is room for, and that will help preserve the value and lifestyle of those of us in the surrounding homes on that block of AG. If I am here in vain because Mr. Emmerich tweaked the plan just enough for it to pass, and that is the only thing that this board considers, and why then am I invited, is it just another box that needs to be checked? We're frustrated, the homeowners around. They're not here tonight. They were here last time. Last time I was in Seattle, my husband was here and he spoke. This time he's in Denver. It's been a tremendous negative impact. Now we're losing our new neighbors. I'm just hoping that we can preserve the quality of our neighborhood and not build these 4 low-quality homes because we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Quick question before you go. Did you say your home is directly to the east?
Okay. So
there seems to be three homes with a flag lot situation, isn't it?
I'm in the middle.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm facing that property. My front door faces that property, and my back door is adjacent to the other complex.
I'm trying to understand. There's the one home off of Ash, and then the second home?
I'm sorry?
Is it?
Put down.
I apologize. There's three homes along that flag lot situation. Is it home one off Ash Street, the second home, or the third home in the rear? Which one is yours?
I'm in the middle home.
The middle.
So the one on the front, 1171, I think faces the street. I face the property, and then 1175 faces the property, the two homes in the back.
Thank you. I just wanted to know where you were on
yeah.
the map. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Do anyone else wish to speak on this item? Yes.
Allison Dumas, currently at 1169 Ash Street. Let's see. There's a house in between our two. I'm on the end, on the back, where is there a picture of it up there or anything?
This item's actually being continued, so they didn't present
there,
today.
Okay. The property they want to build on is right here, right? My property's right here. And I know already there's a parking problem. She already discussed it all. And it's just like a lot more people are coming into this little area with the condos, apartments, those four little houses that were just supposed to be one. And then I've lived there since 2001. And I know there's going to be people building. But this guy came in kind of falsely. He said, I talked to him, he talked to my husband, one house. And that's cool. You can do whatever you want on your property. That's why you do it. But right now with this water situation, it's terrible. Maybe 5 years down the road, maybe. But right now, no, because we already can't water our lawn. What are they going to do? Have two bathrooms in each little place? I don't even know. Washer, dryer, dishwasher. And then it's like, you got to take a 3-minute shower, people. No. Enough's enough. And we're down the street from the water sanitization thing, and I'm by that park, and that's where they clean the water and make it all nice. We already have that red light come on sometimes when there's too much bloom in the water, and they're putting poison in the water. Come on, we don't even need any more water usage, people. We need it to rain. And we have all those old folks' homes around us, too. All that water, you guys. Let's just hold off for a few more years. She doesn't need to sell her house because of newbies that are probably coming from somewhere else anyway. I'm from San Luis. I didn't move very far. But I grew up, my Uncle Buddy and Aunt Rosemary lived on Alder Street. There's tons of houses there now. It was orchards. Orchards and fields everywhere, you guys. We need more of that. No more homes for people to come away from the big city and change everything because we don't have a Macy's or whatever. Stop. You guys don't need the money. Don't. We want to have quality life. We don't need any more people. Right now in our little situation down the street, they're building how many houses? Ash Street. They're already going to put in like 8 houses down there. So no. Stop. We are building already by, what's up, Grand Avenue, that want to be Foods for Less. I don't know what's going on in there. But I can tell there's houses, and that's been approved before we were having this stupid water problem. So they get to go in. But not now, especially when he didn't even come up with the truth in the first place. Changed his little idea of what he's going to build after all, because maybe he can get more money. I don't know. But he wasn't nice to me or my hubby. And, you know, we just don't need people like that not telling the truth right away. We want the facts. Don't switch them up in the middle. And then have a meeting the day after 4th of July. Nobody knew about it. That's why I wasn't here. I didn't know. That's sneaky.
So this item is continued until November 15th, just so you're aware that this item has been continued. It will come back to us on November 15th. Yes, I believe so. Yes, ma'am.
Is it okay to ask why? family in front didn't know they were going to build that much. They knew about a house, but not when it turned around. And then they're not even, the plans aren't even.
Can you speak into the microphone,
Thank
please?
You.
Thank you.
She's done.
I have one. Can I have another comment?
Yeah, I'm just going to close the community comments period since there's no one else in the audience, and I'll bring it back to commission. Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yeah, I just want to ask, who is the legal owner of this piece of property? Our plans say one thing, and the property owners, the adjacent ones, are saying another.
Given the request for the continuance, I'm unaware of that information at this time. I was prepared more for a continuation of the item.
Well, because it says on here this Thomas G.
So maybe
French.
We can just clarify that for the next meeting.
I think when a project moves forward like that, if they've changed their property owners, that we need to know who the actual vesting owner is on a project. We can sit here and listen to comments from the adjacent property owners about who owns the property or who they're talking to, but when we get our package, it doesn't reflect that. So that was my comment.
So I'll move that we continue this item. Excuse me. I move that we continue this item to date certain of November 15th.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Can I please get a roll call vote? We're right in the middle of a motion, so maybe we can answer that after the motion. So we have a motion and a second for
Chair George?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
And the motion carries. Mr. Downing, there's a question regarding public notice.
Absolutely. So the sign was put up in accordance with the Community Development Department policy for signposting on the site. The request for the meeting continuance came in today. So the adequate time to remove or...
So I'm sorry, this is still a formal hearing, so we need to follow protocol. I understand that your frustration, but this is how it has to be, and the motion was made and carried. So it stands, and we'll meet again on November 15th. Yeah.
And I will say that because the applicant has requested to continue the item, we do not require them, according to the policy, to update the date, but we will go ahead and do so in this case.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Can I ask where that sign's located? Is it back on the units, or is it out in the public right-of-way?
Well, that sign's along the ground. Thank you. Sorry. Go ahead and ask your question.
I just wanted to know where the sign was located. Is it back on the piece of property that's being developed, or is it out in the public right-of-way where people see it?
I actually don't have an answer for that since I'm not the project planner, but we can address that for the next meeting.
Okay. So we're going to move forward then with our non-public hearing items. And it doesn't look like we have any. And then we have three notices of administrative decisions. Replacement of a 7-foot, 6-inch fence on 113 North Mason. The establishment of a new location and signage for a relocated business on 405 East Branch. And the annual rummage sale for the South County Historical Society on 128 Bridge Street. Did the commissioners have any questions or comments on these three items?
No.
I thought I did on Murphy's. I thought that was, when we heard that before, I thought that replacement sign was already approved. They hadn't built it or anything. But.
Correct. So that was on one side. This is on the other side.
This is on the Mason Street side.
Correct.
And
the same grade issue to a much lesser degree considering the grading that was done for the council chambers, but yes.
What's the distance on the signage on Mason Street? I mean, there's not.
Are you referencing?
It says the height, but it doesn't say the length.
The length?
Yeah.
at the maximum height, it will be 7 feet 6 inches. But it'll be under that the rest of the way.
Okay, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just not quite understanding where it's going to be that 7 feet 6 inches, because there's only sections that are between existing residence and another attorney's office.
That's where it is, at the drop off to the attorney's property.
So it's only like a 10-foot long section?
I'd say 2 feet at most of being over 6 feet.
Okay. So we'll move on to commission communications. Did the commissioners wish to communicate anything tonight?
I do.
I do too. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share with the commissioners that I am currently enrolled in the Planning Academy that's hosted by the San Luis Obispo Planning Professionals. It's the local chapter of the APA, American Planning Association. I've attended 5 of the 8 workshops. There are about 25 people throughout the county that are attending. There are 3 or 4 other planning commissioners in addition to myself. This is, I think, the 3rd or 4th year they've offered it, the course, and I strongly encourage everyone to attend. It's just been a real informative group. They've got some great speakers, whether they're current or former department heads and leading people professionally in the community in planning and engineering, as well as some professors from Cal Poly. So just a very high-quality group of presenters. I also took the opportunity a week ago to attend the California chapter of the American Planning Association, their annual conference in Pasadena, and joined Matt Downing and Teresa McClish from the city of Rio Grande down at that event. That was a 4-day conference, and 1,800 people from throughout the state attend, and I was able to attend even a couple of sessions that were specifically designed for planning commissioners. And so there's planning commissioners from cities as big as San Diego and as small and quite a bit smaller than Arroyo Grande that were there. I've learned a ton in this last couple months from all these classes. And if I've learned anything, I've learned that there's a ton more, 2 tons more that I need to learn. But it's been a great learning experience, and happy to share that with people informally whenever they'd like.
That's fabulous. Thank you, Commissioner Martin. Is it possible to discuss this tree removal memo? Is this the time to discuss that? I didn't see it on the agenda, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, and actually, Commissioner Mack called me earlier to request that information be brought forward. I did, as I mentioned to Commissioner Mack, I did touch base with the city attorney, given that it is on the agenda, but not necessarily in a, it's more in a informational location than anything. And since the property owner has not been notified, it was the city attorney's recommendation to take the information that was provided and either direct staff to agendize the item, in which case we will alert the property owner that we're going to be talking about it, or come back at a later date. So
I think this item should be agendized.
I second that.
Can I add something? Have you guys been out there and looked at those trees, that tree that was removed? And if
but we can't talk about it, Commissioner Fowler-Payne, until it's on the agenda. Haven't. Yeah. So once we agendize it, we'll be able to discuss it and everyone
Correct.
Will be able to hear.
Okay. So on the adjacent lot, then.
I'm sorry.
But we can talk about it under staff communications, correct?
I know, but there's
about
another.
The content?
There's other problems on the adjacent lot that need to be looked at before it's brought forward. There were other trees removed along the back property line, and the swimming pool was drained.
I would add that to the motion, that we incorporate some information on that as well when it's agendized.
Thank you.
I don't have the address for that one, Commissioner Fowler-Payne, so we'll just say the adjacent lot then.
It's a lot number of that subdivision, because they had to do adjust the line.
So we have a motion and a second already to agendize this item to a date very soon. I don't want to put a specific date on there, but
I would like to also amend that motion to include some exhibits to combat, one, the original plan that shows the drip line of the tree, and then identifying exactly what trees were removed, along with any arborist information from the city arborist, regarding the pruning of the trees as well. We want some information. And then sort of like the before and after. What was it before and what is it now? Exhibit.
I'll second that. Can we get a roll call vote on that, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Chair George?
Yes.
Commissioner Feller Payne?
Yes.
And Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Motion carries. Did staff have any additional communications this evening?
Commissioner Martin took the wind out of my sails. I was going to mention that Director McClish and I attended the California American Planning Association annual conference. It's the largest conference that the California chapter has had up to this point, with the 1,800 registrations. Very, very well attended. Some great information that came out of that. Wide variety of different topics. It's always good to meet up with the different planners from the different cities and planning commissioners in some cases. So we haven't been to a conference in about 5 years, when it was in Santa Barbara previously. So we were able to make it work this time, and it was a good experience. So that was staff's communication today.
Commissioners, have anything else they wish to speak about tonight?
Question I have for staff. I know we've talked about this over the years on the parking standards. And do we have a consultant now? Can you give us an update on what's happening?
Sure. So my plan actually was originally to have as you requested, to have the RFP come toward the Planning Commission for review and refinement prior to going out to consultants. When the opportunity to go to the conference came up, I wanted to wait and see if there were any new advancements in the parking world, which actually there are. There's new things to consider, such as the shared car economy, people getting dropped off rather than driving themselves. The whole driverless car industry is beginning to boom. Some of these things obviously are not necessarily impacting us today, but they are things to consider for the future. So additionally, one of the struggles has been the Planning Commission had requested to look at parking on the city as a whole. What we found is typically these are done by district, and so we have yet to find really good examples of RFPs that are citywide parking standard update RFPs. What we were trying to do originally, before the city council authorized us to go get a consultant to do it, was trying to kind of look at opportunity sites, so some of those that we've heard in the last year or so, residential projects, commercial projects, to try and focus those in and try and tailor them more to kind of the more traditional zoning district parking standard review. But now we've reached out to some other jurisdictions in the state through our city listserv that goes throughout a number of different organizations. So we've got some good responses. I'm refining that. I wanted to have it on tonight's meeting, actually, and given the item that was supposed to be heard and was continued, we kind of gave me an extra reason to hold off in addition to the conference. So I'm anticipating at the next meeting, we'll take a look at the agenda and see how heavy it is given the continuation of the public hearing for tonight. But I would anticipate that at the next meeting.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so when we narrow it down to a consultant or two in evaluating that, are we going to be able to review their work scope before they actually say go?
Well, so what we'll do is staff will bring the proposed scope of work that will go in the request for proposals to the Planning Commission to look at. Typically, we don't have the Planning Commission review the consultants that are being selected. We have a process that we kind of score them and rank them and then make a recommendation to the council. I will go ahead and ask that question, though, of the director.
I just think it'd be really good, whatever consultant we go with, if they came to the Planning Commission so we can tell them what our concerns are and what we think the problem areas are in the city, so they address that in their reporting.
Yeah, and I'll take that into consideration. We'll try and accomplish that however we can.
On the consultant that would be hired, is that through... Is that going to be a civil engineer, or is it a traffic engineer, or is it public works or planning, or what direction do you take that?
Well, at this time, it would be whichever firm submits a proposal and ranks the highest. So I can't answer that right now.
Well, I'm just asking the scope of the person preparing it. I mean, you could have a traffic engineer that's preparing it, but wouldn't necessarily have planning issues. And
exactly. So sometimes what you'll see is kind of multidisciplinary teams that form around consultants. Sometimes it's one company that has this kind of a one-stop shop for all these things. Other times, one consultant will be an expert in this thing, and another consultant will be an expert in a different item. And so they'll kind of team up and come at it together. So we're excited to see how that unfolds.
What's the budget that you're allotting for this parking issue to be resolved?
The great thing is we were not told to stay under this amount. So we're trying to make it as cost effective as we can. It's one of the reasons why I'm going through the scope of work with such a fine tooth comb to try and see where the city can do some of the work, where the consultant can do the work, to try and not have it be $100,000. But there are parking studies out there that do cost $100,000. So we'll have to wait and see how the proposals come back.
That isn't something that can be prepared in-house by planning and engineering department?
So that was the original request, was that the planning and engineering department do that. Given the workload that we were finding ourselves under with entitlement projects, building permit projects, a litany of other city council goals, we found we weren't able to do that. And so at the city council goal setting, that's when they prioritized the parking study and said, we authorize you to go seek a consultant to do this.
If that parking issue was tabled until a decision was made whether there's going to be a water moratorium or not, until then, wouldn't there be time freed up to do that in-house because you wouldn't be accepting more projects?
Depends on how a potential water restriction would come down, how the city council would determine to make that. So I can't answer that for certain.
I'm just looking for ways to balance out the budget here.
You and I both.
That's all.
And that's it. Thank you.
Okay. I believe that concludes our meeting then, so I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting adjourned.